here today and telling us. We hope that we can talk to you later. I'd like to, as I prayed about this, the Lord led me to go into some scriptures that are meant to show us the role that we can play in God's plan to spread throughout the world the good news of the salvation that we have in Christ. And so I was going to go through lots of scriptures, not going to go through all those today. We'll go through a few, but just as a point of introduction, one of the reasons we have supported the people out of Grace Christian Fellowship for so many years is because they can go on CSU campus and they can reach these people. Many of us in this room are grandma and grandpa, and we're not even comfortable there. I mean, I graduated from CSU in 1976. It's way before you. So we'd love to partner with people like you, and that's why we have all these years. I've known, you know, Chris for many, many years, because it's an opportunity to do exactly what you said. We can take our resources, which we have here. We have financial resources. We don't have the hands and feet, and we don't maybe have the right candidates. And I know we support a lot of ministries. I'll talk about that very briefly today. But we are blessed here to have the funds to help people who need funds to do what they're doing. And I'll talk a little bit about today about where they all are. So why don't we open with just 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you turn there. There are lots of these that I may save for another day. But Larry, would you pray over me for the word, and we'll go through a quick review.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the words that we've heard this morning already. I pray that you'll be with Randy now to help summarize his sermon, that he can pick up the major points of it, and you'll bless him with that. Give him the time that he needs. Ask this in the holy name. Amen.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may be spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is a great example of what Paul's doing here. He's asking for prayer as he is out in the ministry field. And he says that in more of the contemporary version is, finally, our friends, please pray for us. This will help the message about the Lord to spread quickly, and others will respect it just as you do. That's a great prayer for all of the people that we send off in a mission field, even if it's right here at CSU. We can pray for them that the message will spread. Pray that they be kept safe from worthless and evil people, because not everybody has faith. And then it goes on, I pray that the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. So this is one example from Paul about how to pray for our missionaries, as he explains to the Thessalonian now how to pray for him as he is still traveling in his journeys. So let's see what we can find throughout here. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. So that's another spot where Paul is asking for prayer. Starting in verse 1. Now he's in Thessalonica. Remember, he was writing to the Thessalonians. Well, now we're going back in time when he's in Thessalonica. And he says here, verse 1, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. So here he's out trying to tell people this Jesus we're talking about, he's the long-awaited Messiah. And he's in the synagogues doing that. Three different Sabbaths. So he's there for 3 weeks trying to reach his own people. And then it says, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks. and not a few prominent women. So he's in Thessalonica, so he's up in that diaspora area, and he's reaching the God-fearing Greeks. It goes on, but the Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there's another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil, and they made Jason and others post bond and let them go. So these are the bad and evil, wicked men he's talking about. They're doing okay, but then the faithful Jewish people just weren't able to make that stretch to the Messiah. They want him out. And then he goes on to Berea. And maybe if some of you have heard, be a Berean. The Bereans accepted them. But I thought it was always interesting. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. What did they do? They made him post bond. You pay us some money and we'll let you go. But this is the kind of thing that he was up against all the time. If we look back in 2 Thessalonians, let's go back over to the second chapter. Verse 1, "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself above everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." So he's just saying, don't be listening to these people that are doing these strange things. Let me see where I was in 2 Thessalonians. Well, let us look further ahead now as we understand to pray for them. Let us talk about the results of prayer, he claims, 2 Corinthians, and then we'll move forward beyond that and we'll let you go. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just verses 8 through 11. This is a great verse where he's talking about receiving the prayers. He said, We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And Paul talks about this over and over, about how the prayers have helped them get through this tough time. And we've talked about Paul a lot over the years, and all this, he was stoned. He was stoned to death, to the point they thought he was dead. And they usually know. And they left and he got up. And he was scourged, several times. He goes through a lot of that stuff. He's always asking for prayer to help him and to sustain him. And that's our duty as well. As we offer our help to people like Andrew and Annie and all the others, we also need to pray. So I just want to go through a quick summary of what we've been doing. I got a whole couple of paragraphs of all the stuff we've done in the past that we aren't doing now because these things come and go. Now we still have missionaries, Randy and Kathleen, some of you have met. They're in Thailand. They went to Thailand over 20 years ago. They're still there. and we still support them. We have a local missions with Young Life. We haven't had Young Life here for a while, but they work with the youth and young adults from middle school to high school, and now they're on CSU campus. And we especially support Capernaum, the branch that works with the special needs youth. And what a privilege that is for the special needs people to be reached by other Christians going into the schools and meeting these special needs kids and befriending them, taking them to youth camp. We support Alpha Center, and we've been supporting Alpha Center for over 30 years. We also continue to support the Gideons every year. We support Convoy of Hope as they provide needed resources all over the United States and all over the world at the times mostly of natural disasters. They are always there. And we give them money, and they leverage that money times seven to deliver goods and services needed in Haiti and in Missouri, wherever there's hurricanes, every problem, and they always do it through the Christian church. They always meet up with local pastors, and it always goes to the Christian church. They are unabashedly for Christ. It's a wonderful thing. We supported Rob and Liz Trenkman, as you might remember them, in Hungary, as they were bringing the good news to the youth in Eastern Europe and in Hungary. And they raised up Sabi. We have met Sabi. He was here last year. Married Maggie, who is from she's from Wisconsin. But she went out there with a mission group, found him. They got married. And now we support Sabi. As Rob and Liz moved on and went to Oxford in England, we felt we wanted to keep the money there and not do the thing where, okay, the American leaves, so the money goes with him. And there's nothing left. So we don't even support Rob and Liz. We don't feel led to now, but we support Sabi and Maggie. And they're reaching the youth in Hungary. It's a fascinating story. We now have recently started up supporting Eddie Pelez. I've shown you some things on Facebook from him in his mission as a pastor in Cebu, which is in the Philippines. It's a marvelous thing that he does. As many of you know, I went to Israel and I met him. He was in our group. We sat down at lunch. It was $25 for lunch. And he said, Randy, I could feed my whole village for what it cost me for that lunch. And that's when I came back here and talked to the congregation, talked to the board. And so now we send him money, like $100 a month. But for $100 a month, that's going to have a huge impact for him. Honor and privilege. You know, I'm not planning on going to the Philippines right away. But he's just like Sabi is a native Hungarian. He's a native Philippine. So who's better to reach? And he's young. He gets all the kids together and gives them drinks and food, and then he sings Christian songs. It's really, really cool. We also have started to support Maria Tell in her mission called A Courageous Rose. She's here in Fort Collins. She was sex trafficked here in Fort Collins. She finally got out of it through Christ. And in the name of Christ now, as she was rescued, she wants to rescue these other women that are stuck with this. And we don't understand it. She said, I work with corporate, and they don't get it, and they want this and that, and it's more about how they build their organization than helping the women. And she has since trained law enforcement to figure out what it is that's happening, because in her case, she just looked like, in all honesty, she just looked like a rebellious young woman that got tattoos and was hanging out, was very promiscuous, and was a loser. And what she was is trafficked. And she didn't even know she was trafficked. And she says a lot of these women don't still get that then when they're set out to do all these sexual favors for other people, that's to them, that's their life. That's who they are. They don't realize, no, there is a better way. So we're supporting her. And so that's what we do in this church. And we are very grateful that we have that. We're so glad we have Andrew and Annie, too, to evangelize on the CSU campus. As I said, how can we do that? But what God has blessed us with is funds. And people need money to do these things. But they also need prayer. So we need to always support them in prayer. So another place I would go, but I won't go to today, is John 17. But John 17 is awesome. It's where he starts to pray. And he prays for his apostles. And he said, I'm not going to take them out of the world. I just tell you to protect them. And then he goes on, and my prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. That's us. Amen. Jesus is praying in John 17 for us, that we will stay the course with him. He prays for us. So, that's what we do here. We love the fact that we can do it with you guys. So I want you, before I close, to come up, let us pray over you. And bring some people up. Let's pray over Andrew and Annie as they continue this journey that we are so privileged to be a part of. And then we'll close.